Again, good morning. Good morning and welcome. My name is George Davis. Thank you for joining us. If you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to join with me in turning to the passage that was just read for you, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Great to see you this morning. If you're new, we're wrapping up this series on the Sermon on the Mount. By the way, I want to invite you. Next week, we're going to start a very different series because it is a series built on your questions. You may recall a few weeks ago, we invited you to submit questions you think that never get answered or addressed in church. And so we took those, we compiled them. There were some common themes, and all those questions, or not all of them, but several of them are actually leading into the next sermon series. So if you don't like it, it's your fault. You submitted the questions, right? Some really interesting questions, and I'm going to have some people kind of engaging in dialogue throughout this series. So it's going to be different than anything you've seen before. So I want to invite you back next week as we really wrestle with some tough questions in life, perhaps questions we don't always feel are addressed in church. Matthew chapter 7. This week I got a letter from a company. We have a service contract on our furnace, on our HVAC in our house. And it was just a letter reminding me that our contract is up at the end of the month and I can choose to renew. Interestingly, more recently, I've also gotten a couple of different letters, ads from other companies that do the same thing. And they've got offers and, you know, an introductory offer, you get a discount. And so there are really even options for me to explore in thinking about this. Beyond that, you know, you just need to understand, it's a crazy season of life for us as a family, a lot going on. We're going to have two sons headed off to college for the first time next month. Even today, three members of our family are traveling. So my son and I are playing Family Survivor today, but we're doing okay. So going through all the restaurant coupons this week, that's been good. So to be honest with you, this whole idea of you need to renew your contract for the services on your HVAC, that is not high on my to-do list. But I tell you that to say this, regardless of what happens this week, you know, whether I explore other options, choose to go with a different company or just renew that contract, or whether in the midst of all that's going on and, you know, things we're doing as a family, that just kind of gets pushed to the side. It's just not that big a deal. It's not high on my priority list. I'll admit that. Regardless of what happens this week, what I want you to see is I will make a decision, right? The contract is expiring. Whatever I do, even if I just choose to disregard that and come back to it on a later date, regardless of what happens this week, whether I acknowledge it or not, I am making a choice. I am making a decision. Have you ever been in situations like that? Situations, whether you realize it or not, whether you take action or not, ultimately, you are making a choice. Even your complacency in not acting is actually making a choice, whether you realize it or not. You've been in situations like that. Maybe you had, you know, there was this opportunity at your work to pursue a different job in the company or to develop some different skills and or an opportunity to pursue this business, you know, venture or something. And you kind of, yeah, you thought about it, but you were ambivalent and the opportunity's gone. And you look back and at the time you didn't fully realize it, what was going on, but the truth was you were making a choice. Likewise, maybe there was this relationship and during a season you had the opportunity to invest into it, to build into it, to develop it further, a friend, a family member, a parent, a child. And in the midst of other things going on, you just kind of left it hanging out there and the window closed. And as you look back, you were making a decision. You were making a choice, even though you didn't realize it at the time. I tell you that because now we come to the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And if you've been with us, right, this is what Jesus is doing on the Sermon on the Mount. He is describing what it looks like to be his follower. In the New Testament, we see this radical claim that when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, made possible through his work on the cross, you enter into a new relationship with God. And what Jesus is describing in the Sermon on the Mount is what that what that new way of life looks like. And underlying the Sermon on the Mount is this expectation that when you become a follower of Christ, God's Spirit actually begins working in you from the inside out. So that who you are and what you do, it's not just a matter of conforming to expectations or behavioral norms, or you do this because the church says you're supposed to do this, but it's you're living from the inside out. Jesus calls that a greater righteousness. And in very concrete ways, Jesus is describing, this is what this looks like when you follow me. And that's what he does in the Sermon on the Mount. And in essence, he's also making the radical argument that this is what it looks like to thrive. This is what the good life looks like. And so he unpacks that in very concrete ways, and we've looked at that throughout the course of this series. But you get to the end, and it's like Jesus looks at you, he looks at me and said, okay, I've just described what this way of life looks like. And the last thing, in essence, he says is this, and now you will choose. You will choose. You will choose whether to follow me or not. But you will choose. And that's and what Jesus does right at the end of the sermon is he uses several very different illustrations, simple stories. But underlying each of the stories, I think, is this driving theme he wants to put in front of you, in front of me. You will choose. You will choose. Whether you not realize it or not, you will choose. So notice how he does that. Let me just kind of quickly walk you through this section and the diverse stories that Jesus tells, right? It begins verse 13. He talks about a narrow gate and a narrow way that leads to life, and then a wide gate, a broad gate, and a broad path that leads to destruction. And notice it's a simple contrast. And that's what Jesus, these stories are very different right at the end, but they all have this simple contrast, right? You either follow me or you don't. You're either on the narrow path or you're on the wide path. And then we get to the next section, and I think in this next section, Jesus is actually dealing with leaders and their followers. And so he says, you need to watch out, right? Verse 15, watch out for false prophets. And it's sobering, particularly for those of us in church leadership. Maybe it ought to be sobering for those of you who kind of are engaged with church leaders, because Jesus says, you know what? There are going to be certain leaders that don't get it right. Just as there's a narrow gate and a wide gate, so there are false teachers and teachers who truly reflect me. And Jesus draws that contrast. Jesus, in essence, is saying you will be in context. You will culturally be in situations where you will hear people talking about what truth is, what religion is, even what Christianity is, and they will not be telling the truth. And so Jesus says you need to be discerning because not everyone's on the right path. And of course, in helping us in the area of discernment, Jesus uses a simple illustration, right? He says, good trees produce good fruit, bad trees produce bad fruit. So pay attention to the fruit of those in leadership. So notice, right? Simple contrast Jesus is making. There's a narrow gate, wide gate, narrow path, wide path. There are teachers who follow me and they're false teachers. And consequently, there's good fruit and there's bad fruit. And then building on that, in light of the fact that some people are on the wrong path, Jesus says there are going to be some people who claim to follow me but aren't actually doing that. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did not we prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Wow. Right? So there's this narrow gate, there's this narrow path, and there are teachers that are leading on that. But there's also this wide gate and this wide path, and there are false teachers. And included in this path are people who are religious or spiritual, maybe who even claim the name of Christ. But the truth is, they're not on the right path. And then Jesus, right, he tells one more story. It's a very familiar story, right? It's a wise builder and a foolish builder. The wise builder builds his house on a firm foundation, builds his house on the rock. It's a powerful image in the Old Testament, by the way. The foolish builder doesn't do that. It's the foundation's no good. It's sandy soil. And then, of course, the storms come for both, and one house is washed away, and one isn't. These are very different stories, but you see there's an underlying contrast, right? You see that? Narrow gate, narrow path. Wide gate, wide path. Good tree, good fruit. Bad tree, bad fruit. Wise builder, wise house. Foolish builder, foolish house. Contrast just runs through all of these. And it's Jesus' way of saying, you know what? You're either going to follow me or you're not. But you will choose. That's what he's getting at right at the end of this Sermon on the Mount. And I think there are several implications. Let me just briefly draw out for you several implications of what Jesus is doing in these very different stories. First of all, it's so basic, but you got to get a hold of this. Jesus, through all of these stories, is saying this: everyone chooses. Everyone chooses, right? We can sit back and say, let me think about that Sermon on the Mount a little more. And maybe there were those people that were there, they're sitting on the hillside. Let me think through more carefully what he said. I got to research that a little bit more. I'll have to think about it a little more. Or maybe, you know what, I'll get around to that when my life is less confusing or less busy. And Jesus says, no. Whether you realize it or not, you are making a choice. Everyone chooses. And notice there's no middle ground, right? You're on this path or that path. You're building this house or that house. There's no neutral. There's no middle ground. And I realize this may seem overly simplistic, right? Don't you just want to say to Jesus, wait a minute, Jesus. Maybe you want to say, well, you know, it's much more complicated today in the 21st century. And, you know, we're much more developed. But the truth is there were all kinds of ideas, religious ideas floating around in his culture as well. That's nothing new. I mean, we look around and we see all kinds of ways people build their lives and try to make sense out of life, all types of different religious approaches, spiritual experiences. And it's not that Jesus is denying all that is out there, but what Jesus is doing, he's cutting through all of that and saying ultimately, and it's a radical claim, he is saying ultimately it boils down to this: you either follow me or you don't. That's what he's saying. You either follow me or you don't. And you're making a choice. You may feel like your life's in neutral and I'll get around to this when I get older. You know, maybe I'll come back to God when I have kids or whatever. But even now, Jesus is saying you are making a choice whether you acknowledge it or not. Now, as he says that, let's just unpack it further. And let's do that by let's just drill down for a moment on that first illustration, right? He says there's a narrow gate and a narrow path and a wide gate and a wide path. Notice there are two elements, right, on each side of the equation. And there's debate in terms of how to understand these, but I think the most natural way to understand it is this. When Jesus talks about a gate, he is talking about your core commitments, right? Your foundational identity. It's what makes life work for you, whatever that is. It is kind of at the core of who you are, what makes life meaningful and significant to you. And what he is saying is you've got that core commitment, that's the gate, and the gate leads to a path. The gate leads to a way of life that flows out of your core commitments. I think that's the most natural way to understand it. So then, what does Jesus mean by the narrow gate? Right? We read this. He says there's a narrow gate that leads to a narrow path. I think the best way to understand this reference to this gate, this narrow gate, this narrow door, and you can translate it that way as well, is to recognize this is referring to Jesus himself. Interestingly, we come to the book of John's Gospel, right? And there are these amazing sayings in John's Gospel that begin with the phrase, I am, right? Jesus says, you know what? I'm the light of the world. I'm the bread of life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. And one of the things he says in John, particularly John 10, is, I am what? I'm the door. I'm the gate. And ultimately, in describing himself as this door, this gate, Jesus is anticipating his work on the cross. We get later in the Christian story, we get to the book of Hebrews, and the writer says, as he's using imagery from the Old Testament temple and tabernacle, he says, you know what? Jesus, through his blood, has made a way, right, for us to go through the door into the presence of God. So when Jesus talks about this narrow gate, it's not any gate. It's not trying harder. It's not morality. The narrow gate is Jesus himself. The narrow gate is his work on the cross. And what Jesus is showing us here, right at the end of the sermon, is he's saying, look, this gate, what I am doing on your behalf that brings you into a new relationship with me, now leads you into a new way of life. In other words, the door leads to the path, and the path is the way of life he's just described in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, in saying that, I hope you also see, and this is very important, I hope you also see that in Jesus' simple illustration, the doors and the path go together, right? Do you see that? There's a narrow door that leads to a narrow path, and then there's a wide door that leads to a wide path. And this is so important, because what I've discovered over the years is in some Christian circles, it seems like we separate the gate, the door, from the path. Here's what I mean. I think in some Christian circles, it's like all we talk about is the door. And in some Christian circles, all we talk about is we want to help people make decisions for Christ. We want to help people put their faith and trust in Christ. And once they put their faith and trust in Christ, once they take that first step through the door, we want to find other people, right? And help them do the same thing. Now, am I saying that's not important? No, it absolutely is important. But we have to remember the door goes into a path. And Christ didn't come just so we could experience forgiveness and go be with him when we die. Right? As he describes it, the door made possible through his cross work leads to a different way of life. And tragically, sometimes in churches, it seems like all we're talking about is the door. And once you take a step, we need to get other people and just help them go through. It's like the door is filled with people. It's like, no, get going. It's on the path. The door leads to the path. But likewise, it can be dangerous to only see the path and not see the door. And tragically, some of you have been in churches like that. You've been in churches where all we talk about is obedience and what it looks like. Here's what you have to do to be a good Christian, however that's defined in a particular context. And the deal is when you see the path without the door, it becomes weighty. It becomes heavy, right? It becomes burdensome. That's what the Pharisees did. Some of you have experienced that weight. And maybe even to this day, you're intimidated by Jesus' words of obedience. I mean, he's just talked in those terms, right? Even in this passage where he talks about those who do the will of the Father. But you have to understand, every time Jesus is talking about this way of life and what obedience looks like, it's always framed by the door. It's always framed by the fact that you are to be in relationship with him, and it's in the context of this relationship and what his Spirit is doing in your life that you're able to walk this path. Likewise, and this is very sobering in these texts, Jesus is showing us if all you see is the path, there will be certain people that think they're on the path, but they're not. I mean, these are sobering words when Jesus talks about people who say, you know what? Lord, Lord, look at all I've done for you. Look at all the religious activity. Look at all the spiritual activity. And he says, I never knew you. And the danger comes when we try to figure out, you know, there's got to be another way to get on this path. Really? There's got to be, right? And we try, and we're going to, maybe if I go this way, right? All these places, don't they get to the same place? And no. There's only one door. And if you don't go through the door, you're not on the path, even if you think you are. And so Jesus says, look, whether you realize it or not, you are choosing. And this is the life I'm inviting you in the context of this relationship to join me on this journey. So everyone chooses. Furthermore, as Jesus gives us these different stories, I think an implication is this. Jesus says everyone chooses, and he also wants us to see that over time, your choice has consequences. Over time, your choice has consequences. I love the imagery of the path. It doesn't mean as much to us, but you need to understand in the Old Testament, in Jewish literature, this was already deeply embedded imagery. The idea that you're on a path, you're on a journey. And the idea was this: you need to recognize that you are on a journey where you're making choices and decisions. It may feel like your life is in neutral. It may feel like everything is the same day after day, but don't be confused by that feeling, because you're actually on some kind of journey. And over the course of your journey, depending on what path you're on, the choices that you are making over time are choices that are shaping who you are. Right? In a real sense, we make our choices and decisions, and over time, our choices and decisions make us. And I think underlying what Jesus is saying, particularly because he uses this very familiar image of being on, right, the wise path or the foolish path, what he is saying is, you're making choices. You're choosing to follow me or not. And whether you realize it or not, the choice you make over time is going to have consequences. Now, in saying that, I realize Jesus creates a certain tension here, right? It's like, okay, I need to make the right choice, and right, I need to take this seriously because my choices are going to have consequences. But it's not particularly motivational, right, when Jesus says, and by the way, the choice I want you to make is to follow me through the narrow door onto the narrow path. Woohoo! That sounds fun, doesn't it? And if that creates a certain negative feel, it should, because the language Jesus uses in talking about the narrow door and the narrow path communicates and can communicate the idea of being restricted, right? Confined, limited. It's interesting, I was talking with some people this week about this passage, and as we talked about Jesus, and particularly the whole idea of, well, you go through this narrow door and now you're on this narrow path of walking with him, a term that came up in our conversation was the whole idea of discipline, right? This way involves discipline. And you're like, why would I choose that? Well, it seems contradictory, but in essence, notice what Jesus says. He says, look, this way, it feels confined. It feels like it's a narrow way. But ultimately, this is the way of life. And I think what he is saying through this imagery is, look, I'm inviting you this way of life. I just described it on the Sermon on the Mount. And you need to understand the choices you're going to be making do have consequences. You're choosing who you're going to follow, and the choices are going to have consequences. And I know you may be demotivated to follow me because it feels like I have called you to this restrictive life, to this harder life, to this life that requires discipline. But I want you to understand that even though it can feel that way at times, this life is truly the life that is life-giving. Right? So, for instance, he's just talked about perseverance in prayer. And you know, that can feel restrictive. There's so many other things, wider things that I can do with my time that come so much easier. Right? Than, you know, spending time in scripture and getting alone with God, that can feel restrictive and it can take more discipline. But the truth is, and it can also be those times in my life where as I'm spending time with him, reflecting on his word, engaging in communication with him, he's working in my life to change me and change the hard places from the inside out, right? I mean, think about what other things he's talked about. For instance, he's talked about money and not getting hung up on your stuff and thinking differently about my possessions, and that can be hard. It's so much easier just for me to live for myself, but when I choose what perceives to be this narrow way, it may actually open me up to a different way of viewing my resources. It can move me into a life of generosity that is actually much more vibrant than just hoarding my stuff for myself. Or think about the fact Jesus invites us in those difficult relationships, not just to run away and hide, but to engage. And he talked about that. And that can be hard. And those can be hard conversations. But they can also be moments that really open me up to what God wants to do in me and through me that I never would have experienced had I chosen the wider, the easier way. Some of you are Doctor Who fans, right? Okay, come on, just nod, just pretend. If you're not from it, Doctor Who, a British television series, and it's about a time traveler. And this time traveler, he travels in an old phone box, an old police phone box, known as the TARDIS. And if you're familiar with the story, you know kind of the most amazing thing, it's a phone box, right? It's like this, you know, like this by this. It's tight, it's narrow, it's confined, but the amazing thing is, once you get inside, it's expansive. And in a real sense, Jesus says, look, I know this way of life. It can feel restrictive and tight going into it, and at times that's the way it feels, but it really opens you up to a different way of life. And whether you realize it or not, you're making choices. Those choices are shaping you, and those choices have consequences. So join me on the narrow road. And then to drive the home, I think, that point even further, there's one last implication. Because ultimately, Jesus says this, the nature of your choice will be revealed. The nature of your choice will be revealed. This is evident throughout these stories. And first, I think it's evident in the idea that we are going to experience things in life from time to time that reveal who we truly are on the inside. I love the final story Jesus tells, right? The story of two builders, two very different builders. One builds wisely, one builds foolishly. One builds on the solid foundation, one builds on the sand. But notice, despite the great differences between these two individuals, despite the great difference in terms of intentionality in how they build their lives, both face what? The storm. This is not a parable in storm avoidance, right? This is a parable that says, ultimately, at different points in our lives, we experience those things that are unexpected, we didn't plan for, but moments that reveal who we truly are. Recently, I was in a conversation with a good friend of ours, and she just lost her husband at age 59 to a very rare form of cancer. It came on 3 years ago, and this has just been a 3 years has been a roller coaster journey for them. And in the conversation, she made just mostly astute observations. She said this, I had never expected to be here at this point in my life. And I think the more life experience you accumulate, the more you go through those moments where you say, you know what, I never expected to be here. I never expected to be here in my job. I never expected to be here in my health. I never expected to be here in certain relationships or in my marriage. There's these moments that come and they seem to surprise us. Sometimes they're the result of poor decisions on our part or the parts of other people. Sometimes they just seem to come out of left field and we're going, I never expected to be here. But there are moments, whether we realize it or not, that reveal what's been going on the inside. And Jesus says, those moments will come. The choice you make ultimately will be revealed. And of course, I think it, you know, on the one hand, in this text, Jesus is anticipating we're going to experience life circumstances like that. But beyond that, and this is very clear in the passage as well, Jesus communicates clearly, one day you will appear before God and all will be revealed. Right? There is an ultimate judgment. And that is described in this passage. So Jesus says this. Look, I've been telling you about what it looks like to follow me. Maybe it's engaged you. Maybe it's energized you. Maybe you're curious and want to know more. Maybe you feel like you've got it all figured out. It doesn't matter. Maybe you're just complacent. Maybe you think spirituality, religion, that's for other people. That's not for me. But Jesus gets to the end and says, wherever you are on that scale, however you have heard my words, you need to understand, you will choose. You will choose. Even now, you are making a choice. This day, July 2016, you are making a choice. And over time, your choice has consequences. And ultimately, your choice will be revealed. And he says, in the midst of your busyness, in the midst of the complexity of life, and in the midst of all your responsibilities, it really comes down to you either follow me or you don't. You're either moving in this direction or you're moving in that. So the question is this. What's your choice? What's your choice? We're now going to come to a time of communion, and I'm just in the quietness of this moment, I'm going to invite you to join me in prayer. So would you just, let's just take a couple of minutes. I ask you just kind of in the quietness of this moment to just to bow your heads and close your eyes and reflect on the words of Jesus. Very different stories he tells, but I hope you hear him driving on the home the point. You're making a choice. You're making a choice. You're making a choice. If you felt like the whole Jesus thing is something I can put off till a later date, or something I have an identity with Christ, but I don't have to take that seriously, he's looking at you now and saying, whoa, 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 you're making a choice. You're either going to choose me or you're not, and you're moving in one direction or the other. So what's your choice? Perhaps you are here this morning and church has been a part of your life, or you would say, I'm kind of open to Christianity, but I'm not sure, and whatever brings you here, which is great to have you here, but perhaps this needs to be the day where you acknowledge, I need to walk through the door. I need to truly make that choice. Perhaps you're here and you've already started the journey of following Christ, but in so many ways, the truth is you really haven't taken his invitation seriously to follow him. And it feels all good for you because you're like, you know what, I went through the door, that's fine, I'm going to heaven when I die, but you need to understand, in inviting you through the door, he invited you onto the path. Maybe there are particular areas of your life where you realize you have been living in a way that really doesn't reflect your new identity. And today, it's a day to choose differently. I'm just going to invite you to just spend some moments with God as we prepare for communion. And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And you'll notice, hopefully as you came in, there are stations at the front and in the back. And if you're a follower of Christ, just at your own pace, I'm going to invite you during the next few moments after the prayer to come down and to get the bread and get the cup and just take it back to where you're seated. And then we're going to celebrate that together. And even as we spend these closing moments together, just invite you, let this just be a moment for you to say, Jesus, I am choosing you. Jesus, I'm choosing you. So, Father, we come to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and we come to the end of this passage of Scripture that in different ways challenges us, stretches us, confronts us, pushes us, pulls us. But at its heart, it's an invitation to be in relationship with you, made possible through the work of Christ. Father, may that be our choice this day. In Jesus' name, amen. With that in mind, I invite you to come to the table. So on that night, as Jesus gathered his disciples, even as he had used different imagery, like the imagery of the door to anticipate what he was about to do, he used the imagery of the Passover, this great event in the history of Israel. And he took the elements of that meal that pointed to the work of God and ultimately said, "These anticipate me. Because I'm entering into a new way of life and inviting you to join me." And thus he said to them, "This is my body, it's broken for you. This is my blood, it's shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And you see, it's because of that work. It's because he is the door that we can now choose to follow. We can now choose to engage this way of life. So what's your choice? Again, I'm going to lead us in prayer. And then after our prayer, our band's going to lead us in one more song. And as we stand, I'm just going to invite you, if you would like someone to pray with you, we would love to have that opportunity this morning. Maybe even as we talked, you've realized, you know what, I need to take that step. I need to go through the door. I've never done that. Maybe as we talked, you'd say, you know what, I've started that relationship, but there's some area of my life or some situation where I really want to choose Christ in an intentional way this day. If it would be helpful for you this morning to pray with someone, whatever the issue, just to encourage you, pray with you, walk alongside you, I'm going to ask the elders and pastors who are in our room right now to join me at the front. And we're just going to be down here. If you'd like us to pray with you, we're going to be down here during this next song. So I'm going to invite you to stand. I'm going to pray. If you'd like for us to pray, we're going to be down here for you. And then our band's going to lead us. So, Father, we do thank you for this gift of new life. We thank you for the reality of what Jesus has made possible. And we thank you that in light of his work, we can choose a new way to live. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
See you.